Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Lives of the Companions. In this program we talk about the life and legacy of Sahaba Ikram Ali Ridwan Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. But before we proceed, let's recite Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, and let's make few good intentions with me. As-salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu was salamu alayka ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was salamu alayka ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah.
As-salatu was salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya
My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Nazim Abbas Attari also joins me in this program. We welcome him. Let's take a few good intentions. Nazim Abbas Bhai, our Sheikh Tariqat Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, has given us this beautiful mindset, and he always reminds us that we should make good intentions before performing any permissible task. As you and me are presenting this program, we can make this intention that inshallah we will present this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What intentions can viewers make?
SubhanAllah, it is a beautiful intention which comes to mind, that when the mention of the pious people of Allah is done, mercy of Allah descends.
SubhanAllah.
InshaAllah, so to be enveloped in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will talk about the Sahaba, and especially in particular the personality that we'll be discussing today, obviously is also amongst the Sahaba. So to gain their blessings, to gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll do their mention and listen to them, inshallah.
And they will listen to this, yeah? SubhanAllah. And respective viewers of Madani Channel, I would request if you can ask your family members and kids especially, and all that can join with it in front of Madani Channel's TV screen, because today we are going to talk about none other than Sayyidina Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and the third caliph of Islam, inshallah azza wa jal. And we have covered this personality in the first episode, Nazim Abbas Bhai. And inshallah, we will be covering Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, inshallah, today again. What would you like to start with?
SubhanAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In last episode, Rizwan Bhai, we covered some remarkable excellences of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. And today, again, obviously, we'll be talking about more excellences and virtues of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. But let's start with the blessed appearance of Uthmani Ghani radiallahu anhu. As we've been hearing about Uthmani Ghani radiallahu anhu, we've been hearing how great he is, how greatly the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has praised him. Now, obviously, we would want to know or
how he looks like.
Imagine how our master, the third caliph of Islam, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, would look like.
SubhanAllah.
So, alhamdulillah, ulama have mentioned in the books regarding the personality, the physical appearance of Uthmani Ghani radiallahu anhu. So, it is stated that Uthmani Ghani radiallahu anhu was a man of most graceful appearance, and he had an awe-inspiring personality. His height was medium, and he had lovely, handsome, pleasingly graceful-looking face with a reddish-white glowing complexion. Further, it is stated that he had large cheeks, long ears, beaming and bright teeth, a broad chest, wide shoulders with a distance between them, strong and impressive calves, rather long arms, fairly long hair on his breast head, according to Sunnah, that were hanging below the ears. And when you talk about his best beard, it is stated that it was thick like the beard of Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu and Mawla Mushkil Kushi radiallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. And his skin was covered with golden hair.
Subhanallah.
The skin of Uthmani Ghani radiallahu anhu was covered with golden hair. And having such a handsome and awe-inspiring personality, Sir Uthmani Ghani radiallahu anhu was a man of modesty and shyness.
Subhanallah.
So this is what we find in the books regarding the personality, the physical appearance of Uthmani Ghani.
What a graceful and handsome personality, and how beautifully it has been described. SubhanAllah. And thanks to those Sahaba Ikram, those they observed in this detail, and then they have mentioned in these hadiths. And today, after 1400 years ago, after we are alhamdulillah talking about, and we are alhamdulillah fortunate to know what were his complexions and how a beautiful, graceful personality he was, mashallah.
Not only was he graceful and such beautiful, awe-inspiring personality he possessed, but at the same time, the level of modesty that he possessed was also remarkable.
Because when you are handsome and you are good looking, mm-hmm. then a factor of arrogance or pride,
definitely.
You know, and that is also seen amongst people. Because any ni'mah, any blessing one person gets, maybe it's a wealth or it's a beauty or something, then the level of arrogance and then the use of that, whether it's a money or beauty, it is utilized in a very wrongful manner. Generally, this is observed. But subhanAllah, those, they are the pious ones, those, they are awliya Allah, those, they are closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not misuse the blessings they possess. And as you have mentioned, how good-looking, graceful, gorgeous and handsome personality he looked like, but yet he was the symbol of modesty. Haya, subhanAllah. Subhanallah.
And regarding the physical appearance of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam also described him beautifully. When he married his princess, Sayyidatana Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha to Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, then he said to her that your husband, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he resembles a lot your grandfather Ibrahim and your father Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the words in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam praised Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu to his beloved daughter Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha after marrying her to Uthman Ghani radiallahu
anha. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Beautiful. Respective of Uthman Ghani. I've got one beautiful narration for you as well. Listen with utmost consideration. And Wasim bhai, this narration tells the love between the Sahaba Ikram and Ibn Ridwan and how they praised each other and how much mutual respect and reverence they possessed. Now it is reported Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, and they were busy in doing some work which was instructed and assigned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And meanwhile, Salatul Asr, the time of Salatul Asr started. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala and asked Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu to lead the Salah, to become an Imam.
SubhanAllah.
Now upon that, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu said, you are more deserving than me, and the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given you preference over others and appreciated you.
SubhanAllah.
Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu replies, I would not lead because I have heard the holiest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying how excellent Uthman is. He is my son-in-law and husband of my two daughters. Allah Azza wa Jalla has gathered my noor, light in him, as you were just describing in the appearance, the resemblance. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala said, I would not lead because I have heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying Allah Azza wa Jalla has completed Islam with Umar.
Allahu
Akbar. Now they are just referring those ahadith they had heard, those narrations.
They're complimenting
Allahu Akbar. And these compliments, they are not complimenting on their own. They're referring the compliments of Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and said, I would not lead because I have heard the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, even the angels feel shy before Uthman. Allahu Akbar. This is the level of haya Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. Now what did Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu stated? I would not lead because I have heard the Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Allah Azza wa Jalla has accomplished deen by Umar and honored the Muslims. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I would not lead because I have heard the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Uthman will collect the glorious Quran and he is the beloved of Rahman Azza wa Jal. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I would not lead because I have heard Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam saying how excellent Umar is. He looks after widows and orphans. Now these compliments, these beautiful traits, these which have been mentioned by Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, there is so much for us to learn also. The time we are learning, listening, the subhanAllah, these excellent attributes mentioned by Rasulullah alayhi salam for them, but there is so much to learn that how, what sort of behavior should we have towards widows and orphans, and subhanAllah, and feeds them, and when people are asleep. He does this. Now, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu said, I would not leave because I've heard Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam saying, Allah Azza wa Jal has granted forgiveness to Uthman who prepared the army of Jaysh al-Usra, the Ghazwa al-Tabuk. Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala said, I would not lead because I've heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam supplicating in this way, O Allah, grant us dignity by Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam named you Farooq, and Allah Azza wa Jal has distinguished between truth and falsehood by you. When the Prophet of creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heard the conversation, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for both of them and appreciated their courtesy and excellence of manners. Now, Wasim Bhai and viewers of Madani Sharif, look at this mutual respect, how they used to compliment each other, what level of reverence they possessed for each other, and what was the love of Sahaba-i-Kiram between them, and this relationship of brotherhood which was developed by Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam is amazing. And you do not find any example in history the way Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam brought this brotherhood between the Sahaba-i-Kiram and the love. And today also, when we talk about Sahaba-i-Kiram, we should talk with respect, with reverence. Okay, the relationship was great, and we should also talk nicely the way they used to compliment each other, subhanAllah. And further, we also learn from these ahadith the rank, the status of these two great Sahaba, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, isn't it?
Indeed, Rizwanbi, and also at the same time, we also learn that how should we be dealing with each other.
Yeah.
Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, they both are mentioning each other, their excellences, and they both are sort of prioritizing each other over themselves.
And they are becoming, you see, humble.
Humble, they're humbling themselves in front of the other. Now, if we, in the light of this very account, look at our own selves today, if we have any friend of ours or any brother of ours, what is our state? How do we behave with each other? We sort of, we are busy in leg pulling. We are busy in, ma'azallah, throwing each other down, let alone prioritizing the other person over ourselves, or sort of putting him forward before us. This is very commonly seen in every walk of life that we can see around us. But beautiful example, laid down by our masters, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, Uthman ghani radiallahu anhu, that look at what rank they're on, and still the love, the affection they have, and how they're prioritizing each other over themselves, and how they're humbling themselves in front of the other.
So much
great lesson for us, that how should we react and treat our fellow Muslims, and just imagine the society in which this element and this level of respect exists. What a beautiful society, what a beautiful relationship, what a beautiful environment that would be.
That would be, no doubt. Respecting viewers of Madani Channel, we're talking about third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue to talk about this great personality. But now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and that is message from a scholar. Let's include that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
What is the method of replying Adhan? Well, its method is very easy. All you have to do is say as the Mu'adhin says. Repeat same words as uttered by Mu'adhin. While replying Hayya ala salah, it is said La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala al-falah. You say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. As-salatu khayrun min al-nawm. The words which are said in Adhan of Fajr. Now, what to say when replying these words? So while replying to this, it is said Sadaqta wa bararta wa bilhaqqi nataqta. You spoke truth, as it was said by the Mu'adhin, Salah is better than sleep. Salah is better than sleep. So in reply to that, we will say, you spoke truth, and you performed good deed, and you uttered right from your tongue. So this is the method of replying Adhan.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
SubhanAllah, respected viewers of Madani Channel, we were learning methods of replying Adhan. Beautiful explanation, mashallah, and what a great act of reward. It is no doubt if we reply Adhan. Try to reply Adhan and try to, inshallah, repeat as the Muazzin says, and other kalimat would be just learned from Mufti Qasim. See, last week we were talking about Sayyid Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and we have discussed about this personality. He mentioned his blessed parents, and we have heard few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu salam also regarding this great personality, mentioning his excellence and status. Now, if you would like to share any other dominating factor in his life, or any element which prominently, you see, distinguishes him, subhanAllah.
There are many, many factors, Uthman bhai. We talk about his modesty, we talk about his generosity, we talk about the love that he possessed for the Prophet, السلام, the love he possessed for the sunnahs of the Holy Prophet, السلام, the love he possessed for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so many dominating factors that we can touch upon. Regarding his modesty, Rizwan, but you see, there's one factor is that the servant himself praises the master. But when it comes to a point where the master is praising the servant, that also shows the dominating, the excellence that the servant possesses. And in this case, we're referring to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu as the servant and the Holy Prophet as the master, where the Prophet at various occasions praised his servant Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. There's one hadith of the Prophet where the Prophet mentioned that by the intercession of Uthman, 70,000 people will enter Jannah without accountability, upon whom hell had become wajib. This is one narration in which Prophet mentioned about Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Then we're talking about the dominating factor, as you mentioned. Now, haya, modesty, this is from Iman. No, right. And very, very important for all of us to possess. Now, regarding modesty, the Prophet ﷺ stated that modesty is from Iman. Wow. It is from faith. And the most modest one from my ummah is Uthman. Another narration states that from my nation, the one who's most modest and most respectable and noble is Uthman ibn Affan. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that the person with most modesty amongst my nation is Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, mentioning about the modesty that he possessed, himself says that since I've taken bay'ah of the Prophet ﷺ, the hand I used to take the bay'ah of the Prophet ﷺ, I've not touched my private parts with that very hand. Now over here, there's not only the element of modesty, but also the respect of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We're not talking about whether this action was permissible for him or not. We're not going into that discussion. But look at the level of love he had for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the modesty he possessed, that since he had taken bay'ah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the hand he used to pledge allegiance to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not use that hand to touch his private parts. And then he himself says that whenever I take ritual bath, I fold my hands and my limbs, my hands, my arms, out of the modesty, out of haya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in an enclosed room, even in an enclosed environment. No one else is watching. I'm on my own taking a ritual bath. Even in that very time, I fold my hands and my limbs due to being shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can we say about the modesty of Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu, from whom even angels would observe haya? There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim where the mother of believers, Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa Tayyiba Tahira radiallahu anha, she states that once the Prophet ﷺ was resting in his house, and his blessed calf, you can say, part of the leg, calf was uncovered. And during the meantime, my beloved father, the first caliph of Islam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he sought permission to enter. Right. The Prophet ﷺ allowed him to enter without changing his position, his posture. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came, they conversed, and it all happened. Then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he sought permission to enter, and the Prophet ﷺ granted him permission to enter again without changing his posture or without changing the state in which he was. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu also entered, and everything, obviously the conversation, whatever was to be taking place, took place. Now, the third caliph of Islam, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, sought permission to enter.
Right.
Now the permission wasn't granted straight away, as opposed to the first two instances. Now Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu seeks permission to enter, and the Prophet alayhi salam straight away gets up, and he covers the part of Hishin that was uncovered initially, and then grants permission to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu to enter. Now, after all this happened, Amma Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the reason that when my father Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, you didn't change your posture? Umar ibn Khattab came radiallahu anhu, you didn't change your posture? But when Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu came, you changed your posture, you covered the part of your shin. And now the Prophet alayhi sallam, he replied that, shall I not observe modesty from the one? Even angels observe modesty.
Subhanallah.
Imagine the rank of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, how Prophet alayhi sallam is educating the ummah. That what is the rank and status of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, what is the level of his modesty, the level of haya, that even angels who are infallible, who are sinless, who don't have the tendency of committing a sin, who do not do anything other than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Allah Almighty, even that very creation observes modesty, haya, from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, then who can imagine the status, the shan, the dignity, the honor that Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu possesses?
Definitely, actually haya is a portion of iman, isn't it? It is part of one's iman and
indeed
faith. And it's very crucial and important factor in one's faith in life, right? And it can protect one from so many sins. The person who has got haya, who has got modesty, he can preserve and protect himself. Or a woman can protect or preserve herself from many, many, many sins which may have been committed or performed if haya wasn't present. Now, there's a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah alayhi sallam, has been narrated, reported to have said, that do whatever you want if you do not possess haya. Definitely, if a person does not have haya, a man or a woman, boy or a girl, right? If they do not have haya, so they can do anything they want.
You may do whatever you want.
You may do whatever you want. That means this is the haya that will protect you from committing any sin. Otherwise, when you can see there are certain people out in marketplaces or out everywhere, you would see certain acts they would be doing. Even noble people, they would feel ashamed of
indeed
their such acts. Noble people, let
indeed
alone those they are a bit more
pious and righteous.
Pious and righteous. Normal people, they say, what kind of act he or she is doing? Because this is very important, because such people who are performing these things, or they are doing certain acts, or they are of shamelessness
immodest
on social
act
media, immodesty, what they are performing or displaying on social media or maybe open in outside. So this is what is, because they do not have haya, they do not have that element of modesty in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe one of the reasons, that because they are doing whatever they want. And if the one who has and possesses, definitely he wouldn't
do so. Very important in today's day and age, in the times we're living in, especially when social media usage is very, very high. And we see all sorts of things happening on social media. And we all know very
immorality,
well,
immodesty is
and
common.
What is the reason, the main factor behind it? Lack of immodesty.
Lack of immodesty. And this is what, subhanAllah, is beautifully displayed in the blessed prosperity of Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and respect viewers of Madani Channel. And viewers, we can learn a lot from this great personality, the life and legacy he has left behind. One of the attributes, if today we can learn, is haya. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to adopt this beautiful. Sayyidina Salama bin Aqwah radiallahu ta'ala narrated, the tahmad, the large piece of cloth wrapped around the waist. Fameerul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and would come to mid-calf, and he radiallahu anhu used to describe its reason that هَكَذَا كَانَتْ إِذْرَاتُ صَاحِبِي. The tahbib of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would also hang in the same way.
Subhanallah.
Now, this is the beauty of Sahaba Kiram, that they adopted each and every sunnah of Rasulullah. They imitated each and every act of Rasulullah. Whatever they came to know, and subhanAllah, they adopted. And this is what is also reflected in the seerah of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, where once he was performing wudu and all of a sudden he started smiling.
Right?
And then the reason he mentioned was again the same, that once I saw Rasulullah alayhi salam smiling after wudu. And see, respected viewers of Madani Channel, these are Sahaba Ikram, subhanAllah, these great personalities, when they try to imitate each and every act of Rasulullah alayhi salam, and subhanAllah, What would you say about this great personality and act of wudu also? You see, wudu, when he was smiling, the reasons which then was mentioned that, see, it wipes away person's sins. You see, when you wash your face, your sins of your face, wash your arms, sins of your arms, your hands, sins of your hands, sins of your feet, they are washed away with that. And this is one of the reasons keeps a person smiling, and the reason thinking about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are washing our face, we are washing our parts of our body which are to be washed in wudu, but on the other hand, subhanAllah, our sins are washed.
You see, it leaves a person astonished as to what level of love these personalities possessed for the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as apparently there's no reason for smiling rather after performing wudu. But when Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu is asked the reason for smiling after wudu, what does he say? I saw Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam smiling once. Now, based on rational reasons,
maybe this could be the reason at that very moment.
Indeed,
at that very time of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he did that action.
You know,
but when he was doing
the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam smiled. This is all what mattered for him. And then there are many other narrations where one companion is making his she-camel going in circles, why the Prophet ﷺ did this. There's no apparent reason. The only thing they had and they wanted to do was to imitate the Prophet ﷺ, to follow the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ, without going into the detail of logic or what reason there is behind this. All they wanted to know that the Prophet ﷺ did this, that's all what we need. And they would follow it wholeheartedly, devotionally, passionately, just because the Prophet ﷺ did that. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, again, this is what we learn from his seerah.
MashaAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Sharif, now it's time to include one segment, and that is Words of Wisdom. Let's include that segment. We'll come back, we'll talk about Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and again, Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu
anhum. Respected viewers, today, the words of wisdom, what we have brought for you, and this is, evil presumption is a worst sin. Badgumani, su'izan, evil presumption is a worst sin. But the majority of people neither consider it sin nor repent on it. Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from having evil presumption, negative thinking, thinking negatively about our fellow Muslim brothers or sisters without any valid shari reason or any qara'in which is wazi and clear proof, and people, they start thinking negative about others and they have evil presumptions. So it's one of the great sins we should avoid, and it could lead to hell. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from doing badgumani, su'izan, negative thinking without any valid proof or reason. We should not have evil presumptions. The single aspect we were talking about, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. Any other beautiful attribute or trait you would like to mention from his life?
There's one way we're talking about the passion he had to follow the sunnahs. And obviously this leads to the fact to understand that how much he loved the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now there's a beautiful account which took place during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when Sir Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu suggested the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to send Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu to the Quraysh as an ambassador when they were going for Umrah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he sent Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu as an ambassador to the Quraysh. So Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu goes as an ambassador. The other companions, they started to feel very pleased, in other words, or envious, we can say, positively envious of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu
anhu. At least he's going to Baytullah.
He's going to Baytullah, he's going to behold the Baytullah, he's going to perform tawaf of the Kaaba. The companions, they expressed their envious emotions in the court of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Obviously stating the same reasons that he'll perform the tawaf of the Kaaba, he'll behold the Kaaba. But the Prophet ﷺ, he knew his ardent devotee. He knew who Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu is. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said that until we are here, Uthman will not perform tawaf. The Prophet ﷺ, he said this. Now, the companions, they said that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not have to face any obstacles in this regard. Then what exactly would stop Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu from performing the Tawaf the Kaaba. Now, to remove the curiosity of the companions, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam again said that I am sure that he will not perform the Tawaf of Kaaba without us.
اور کوئی غیب کیا تم سے نہا ہو بلا جب خدا ہی چھپا تم پہ کروڑوں دو
سبحان اللہ. Now عثمان غنی رضی اللہ عنہ, he returns, he comes back, and the other Sahaba, the companions who were there, they asked him that, oh Abu Abdullah, that was the kunya of عثمان غنی رضی اللہ عنہ, that you must be feeling very relaxed after performing the Tawaf of the Kaaba. So this is what they asked him. So Amir al-Mu'mineen عثمان غنی رضی اللہ عنہ replied that you've misjudged me,
Allah,
you've misunderstood me. Thereafter it is said that the words that Uthman Ghani radhiyallahu anhu uttered reflected the true devotion and the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He said that I swear by the one who has power over my life that even if I had to stay in Makkah for one whole year, I still wouldn't perform tawaf without my master, without the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Whereas the Quraysh did not hinder in any way for me to perform the tawaf of the Kaaba.
Allah.
That is one way, if we just think about it over here, the Prophet ﷺ didn't order Uthman Ghani radhiyallahu anhu not to perform the Tawaf of Kaaba. The Quraysh weren't stopping Uthman Ghani radhiyallahu anhu from performing
rather, they
the Tawaf
allowed
Kaaba.
Him.
They allowed
they
him.
They asked him to do this.
And what can be a bigger honor for a
Allah
Muslim
Allah,
than performing the Tawaf of the Kaaba? Uthman Ghani radhiyallahu anhu is over there. One may think that, you know, the Baitullah is there, Kaaba is there, no one is stopping me. This is the biggest honor and privilege a Muslim can ever have,
yeah.
to perform the Tawaf of the Kaaba. But Uthman Ghani radhiyallahu
anhu, ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He would have also heard tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam never stopped him, never
yeah.
forbade him, never said that don't perform the Tawaf of Kaaba without us. Uthman Ghani radhiyallahu anhu knew that if I got hold of this quote, it is through the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We came to know about Rahman through the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If we are Muslim today, if we have Iman today, if we have all these excellences today, it is because of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was his love that stopped him from performing the Tawaf of the Kaaba without the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this indirectly shows the element of love and loyalty he has towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. People of insight can delve deeper into this account and derive those pearls of devotion and love that Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu displayed at this very occasion, even for the generations to come.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And subhanallah, this is respectful viewers of Madrishal, a great expression of love towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and possessed. The one thing we also learn from this, that how to respect our elders. Right? No doubt, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam's respect is the topmost priority. But this also gives us that what should be our level of respect.
Indeed.
What do we do when it comes to respect our parents? Right? And even, let's take an example of just taking a meal. Right? If any Muazzam-e-Dini or any ulama kiram Islamic scholar is sitting with us, like, we don't even wait that maybe he
True.
Starts first, we start eating first. If parents are sitting with us, maybe we will not consider this
Gee.
Act, but we will start first to eat. Like, even I know this, there's one of the mannerism which is taught in army, right? That whenever there is any officer who is higher than you in rank, okay, he's sitting with you and you are taking a meal, so you don't start before him. Right? This is their code of conduct or practice
Gee.
They do. This is what, in this dunya, this is practiced, right?
Allah.
What about someone who is our father, who is our mother, right? Elder brother? Should we not show respect in that manner? And definitely, subhanAllah, this is what our deen Islam teaches us. This is the life of Sahaba-i-Kiram that teaches us. They never stepped before Rasulullah, right? Ahead of Rasulullah, they always remained behind and they respected Rasulullah, and they had not read. Generally, they knew that what is the ta'zeem and taqeer of Rasulullah, but in specific, those acts, each and every act, which was not described in detail in Quran or in detail in the hadith by Rasulullah, that you have to do this also, you have to do this also.
There was no explicit
yeah.
instruction to
instruction.
Them.
But whatever they felt was a means to show respect, reverence in the court of Rasulullah, they adopted. And again, in this day and age also, if any act which is known to be respectful, and if we do that for Rasulullah, that would be
of course
permissible, no doubt at all. I've got a few narrations of Rasulullah. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and is from me. And I am from Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. This is another hadith of Rasulullah. Every prophet has a companion, and my companion in Jannah is Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. We had mentioned this, I believe, last week also. But what a faith refreshing hadith, subhanAllah, that har waqt jahan se ki unhein dekh sakun main jannat mein mujhe aisi jagah mere khuda de. My Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahle Sunnah has made this dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, from where I can behold Rasulullah alayhi sallam at all times, may I get that place in Jannah. So this is the wish of every believer, to behold Rasulullah alayhi sallam. And when one Sahabi Rasul was asked that, ask what you want, and what did he want was, again, rafaqat of Rasul alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, companionship of Rasul alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, nearness of Rasul alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, proximity of Rasul alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And again, Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and his companion of Rasul alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Jannah. What a great fortune it is. Allahu Akbar. And may they also be amongst the servants of Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and Rasul alayhi sallam in Jannah, and we may behold Aqa alayhi sallam and these great Sahaba ikram alayhi ridwan. Another beautiful narration, Naseem bhai, by the intercession of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, it has been mentioned 70,000 people will enter Jannah.
Subhanallah.
His shafa'at will be accepted. 70,000 people will enter Jannah without accountability, upon whom hell would have been binding. Allahu Akbar. I pray that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us amongst those 70,000 who will be going into Jannah without accountability. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. May this program is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we become amongst those 70,000. No doubt, for the Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, this is one of the greatest achievements if we depart from this mortal world with Iman intact, and we enter in paradise, inshallah. Furthermore, the hadith you also mentioned with little bit different words, this narration comes. Modesty is from Iman, and the most genuinely modest from my ummah is Usman.
Subhanallah.
This is a great personality we're talking about, Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. And now it's the time to include one segment in our program. And let's include, respected viewers of Madani Channel, our program, inshallah, Azawajal. This is a question and answer session. Let's include this segment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Respected viewers, we include this segment. It is just to increase a bit of knowledge and a little bit, you see, change the topic and then get fresh and then come back to our main topic. But there is so much to learn today from these questions, inshallah. What are you asking? First question for you.
Yes.
Which place on earth is referred to as a garden of paradise? We are talking about paradise, subhanAllah. The question is also about paradise.
SubhanAllah. It is the place between the blessed home of the Prophet and the blessed pulpit of the Prophet that is referred to as the garden of Jannah, Riyadul Jannah, between the house and the pulpit of the Prophet ﷺ. The question for you is one way. Which statement was engraved on the signet ring of the Holy Prophet ﷺ?
Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Written on signet ring. In which surah is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim a part of a verse?
SubhanAllah. It's Surah An-Naml. Of the Holy Quran, Surah An-Naml, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a part of the verse.
Masha'Allah.
When Sayyidina Musa al-Islam went to Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, how many nights did he spend there?
40 nights.
SubhanAllah.
Another question for you. What made the Hajri Aswad turn black?
Allah.
Turn dark. Yeah.
The sins of the people.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah. And how many angels did Allah Almighty send to aid the Muslims during the expedition of Badr?
5,000, subhanAllah. 5,000 angels descended.
SubhanAllah.
Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nasib Abbas Beg, we're talking about excellence, eminence of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, Sayyid Khalifa Islam, Usman Nahaya, Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an, subhanallah. Any other narration, any other excellence, any other eminence you would like to share with viewers of Madani Sharif?
Subhanallah. It's only the attribute of generosity that he radiallahu an possessed, subhanallah. That was also second to none. When you talk about the generosity that Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an possessed, you're left astonished to see that what great heart Allah Almighty blessed Uthman ibn Affan with. You see, in those days, having slaves, it was only for the rich people that they used to have slaves. Yes. And then freeing slaves in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was something very, very big. Now, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, once he invited the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his home, along with his companions.
Allah
and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam honored him, blessed him with the privilege of accepting his invitation. So the Prophet والسلام, he starts to walk towards his house accepting the invitation, and what does Usman Ghani do? Again, over here is the element of generosity, the element of love, the element of devotion, the element of respect. That as the Prophet والسلام, is walking, Usman Ghani starts walking behind the Holy Prophet والسلام. And the Prophet والسلام, asks him that, Usman, why are you walking behind me? Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu says that every single step that you are taking towards my house, upon every single step, I will leave each slave. One slave per step I will free. And Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu counted the steps that the Prophet took from there up until his house, and then freed one slave in exchange of every step that the Holy Prophet took. Now, it is one way, freeing only one slave was something that would leave everyone astonished. That how rich he is, how generous he is, he's freed up one slave. But Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu freed one slave in exchange of every step that the Prophet took while he was going to the house of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. This is the greatness and excellence that we see in the nature of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, that not only he possessed the element of richness, how rich he was, but also the element of generosity which Allah Almighty blessed him with. Another account is one way. When we talk about Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, one thing we need to understand and we need to embed in our minds that he radiallahu anhu was also a very big merchant, a very big trader.
Right.
And his business had expanded all the way up to Egypt and many other faraway lands. And his conduct, his character was such that even in the age of ignorance, people used to believe him. Okay. Even if he would say that this is the measurement of dates or whatever he was trading in, people wouldn't even bother measuring it. They would believe in him. This was his conduct and character even in the age of ignorance. But now, after embracing Islam, one thing we need to understand over here is his great business acumen, the great trading acumen he possessed. But after embracing Islam, he used all his expertise, all his business acumen for the uplifting of Islam. Now, there's a beautiful account that it was during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the caliphate of the first caliph of Islam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that there was a great famine, and people, they gathered around, they came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and they said that there's no rain from the heavens, no rain from the skies, no vegetation on the earth, and people are suffering greatly. They come with this complaint in the court of the caliph of the first caliph of Islam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he, at that moment of time, he says that go and have patience. Okay. The most gracious Allah Almighty will remove your poverty, this calamity, before evening. Now look at the tawakkul of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu as well. That he's consoling those people that go home, go back, have patience. Before the evening, Allah the most gracious will remove this calamity from you. Now so shortly afterwards, there was a great shouting that a mercantile caravan of Uthman has arrived from Syria. So there were 100 loaded camels with food supplies. Imagine there's a great drought, a famine, but all of a sudden 100 camels, they arrive with food provisions loaded on them.
Right.
Now people, the businessmen of the time, they went to the house of Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, knocked on the door. Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu comes outside and says to him, yes, what do you want? And they all say that the people are suffering greatly.
Allah.
There's no food provisions. And we've just seen that a great mercantile has arrived with food provisions of yours. So we want to purchase food provisions from you so that we can distribute it to the people of Medina and relieve their difficulty.
Right.
Now Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he said that most definitely I'll make this trade. But what profit are you offering me?
Okay.
Usman Ghani Radilan asked this question. And they say that for every 10, we will give you 12.
Right.
To make it easier for us, for every 10 pounds, for example, we'll give you 12 pounds. Usman Ghani Radilan, he says that I'm getting a bigger profit than this. Can you offer me a bigger profit? They increased it. They said, okay, for every 10, we will offer 15. We'll
right.
give you 15 for every 10. And Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he says that I'm getting even bigger and higher profit than this.
Right.
Can you offer me higher profit? And now they start to get worried. And they said to Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, that we are the only traders in Medina. Who's offering you bigger profit than even this? And now may we be sacrificed upon the blessed dust of the feet of Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he says that my Lord, Allah Almighty, is offering me even a bigger profit than this. He's offering me 10 in return of every one. Can you offer me more than this? And they said, no, we cannot offer you this. And upon this, Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he says that I make Allah witness that I've given all these food supplies to the needy Muslims of Medina as sadaqah. It is only 100 camels full of food provisions. Now is the time that he could have made a very big profit.
Yeah.
People are in need. They would pay anything that you want. There is the people are struggling with drought, famine. They would pay anything you want.
Yeah.
Whatever profit you want. One of the biggest occasions to earn the biggest amount of money you want.
Subhanallah.
But what does he do? I do sadaqah of all the food provisions for the needy Muslims of Medina.
Subhanallah.
You see, 100 camels loaded with food provisions.
Subhanallah.
Look at the passion he had to serve the Ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the grief-stricken Ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What is our status, one way? We hold up, we pile up things, despite having severe warnings in a hadith for this evil trade. When we hold up things, and when
Stop
Muslims
up.
Are struggling, then we sell that at the very high profit.
Yeah.
Look at the seerah of Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu.
Allah.
They would look for these times when they can serve the Ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and on the other hand, how Allah Almighty gives more blessings in their business, in their sustenance, we can see that. Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, we need to learn from the seerah of Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, and when we are doing business, honesty, truthfulness, and having the passion to serve the Ummah, this should be the prominent features in our trade.
MashaAllah, beautiful, respective views of Madani Shaykh. What an amazing account we've heard regarding Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and generosity. Respective viewers, now it's a time to include one segment in our program, and that is Hadith of the Day. Let's include that. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala. He states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمُ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍّ وَلَا حُزْنٍ وَلَا أَذَنٍ وَلَا غَمٍّ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةِ يُشَاكُهَا إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ. Now this hadith is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no difficulty or no illness afflicts a Muslim, reaches a Muslim, and no worry, no grief, no pain, and no sadness reaches a Muslim to the extent that even the prick of a thorn which pricks a Muslim, this does not occur except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his sins due to those afflictions. Whatever he is afflicted with, whether it's illness, whether it's sadness, grief, worry, concern, even if a thorn were to prick a person, Allah Ta'ala will forgive a person's sins due to that difficulty, that calamity that he had to face, the Muslim had to face. So subhanAllah, the affair of a Muslim is beautiful. Every single situation, even when he's being harmed, reward is obviously given when a person does good. But even when a person goes through difficulty, he's being rewarded. His sins are being forgiven. We should keep this hadith in mind. We go through so many tests in life, we go through so many tribulations, so many hardships in life, which no doubt every person has to go through. This is life, this is the world that we live in, the place of test. This is not Jannah. But when we go through those difficulties, whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's marital difficulties, difficulties concerning our children, worries that reaches because of work, worries that reaches because of parents turning old and facing ill health, all these types of worries that we face, what are we told in the hadith? whatever worry, whatever grief, whatever sadness, whatever illness, whatever difficulty, whatever pain, even the prick of a thorn, Allah Ta'ala forgives a person's sins because of what he is facing. We should keep this hadith in mind. But inshallah, it will be easier for us to face those trials, to face those hardships and tribulations, and we'll come out the other side, inshallah, cleansed of our sins. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to take lessons from this beautiful hadith.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Respective viewers of my nation, let me share a beautiful account of Sayyidina Abbas Faiz regarding Usman ibn Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, and that it is reported when Muhajireen migrated to Madinatul Nabi, Zadah Allah Sharfu Ta'azima, Muslims had to face difficulty to drink water.
Yeah.
Now, there was no well surrounding the Muslims' population except the well of Aruba, which was the property of a person, and he used to sell water at a very high cost.
Right.
Muslims were not able to purchase so expensive water. The noblest Prophet said to them, "Sell this well to me in exchange of a heavenly well." So this offer was made. He humbly said, "O beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the only source of livelihood for me and my children. I have no ability to do so." When Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala heard this news, he approached the breast court of Rasul alayhi salatu salam and humbly said, "Ya Rasulullah, أتجعل لي مثل الذي جعلته له عينا في الجنة إن اشتريتها." As you were blessing that person with a heavenly well, if I buy this well, will you bless me with a heavenly well? The Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied in the affirmative. Sayyid Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and bought this well for 35,000 dirhams and donated it free amongst the Muslims.
Subhanallah.
35,000 dirhams.
Subhanallah.
What amount of wealth would that be in that day and age?
Subhanallah.
Sayyid Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, he bought Jannah. He bought, I think, twice or thrice Jannah from the court of Rasul alayhi salam. Allah on this occasion. So this was the passion and eagerness of Sahaba Ikram and Zidwan. They used to be keen to, you see, act upon each and every wording or saying of Rasul alayhi salatu salam if they came to know how to please Allah and His beloved Rasul alayhi salatu salam. And subhanAllah, they would not
you see, it's on a similar kind of account. There are many accounts of this nature. There was a hypocrite in Medina.
Okay.
And his hypocrisy was not revealed yet to people.
Right.
And his tree was hanging over the Ansari companion's house.
Okay.
So the Ansari companion complained to the Prophet ﷺ regarding this. And the Prophet ﷺ said to the hypocrite, whose hypocrisy was not revealed yet, that sell this tree to the Ansari in exchange of a tree of Jannah. He refused. When Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu came to know about this, he bought a whole garden, exchanged that entire garden in exchange of that single tree.
Allah.
He gave that garden to the hypocrite and bought the tree from him. Just why? Because the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned that. Because of these traits, the mercy of Allah, that the verses of Quran were also revealed for Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. When this very account took place, then verse number 10, 11 and 12 Surah A'la, they were revealed in the favor of Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, where he said, says, "Sayyazakkaru man yakhsha wa yatajannabuha al-ashqa alladhi yasla an-nar al-kubra." Meaning, soon he who fears Allah will heed advice, and the most unfortunate will avoid it, he who will enter the greatest fire. Now the word yakhsha, man yakhsha, refers to Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, and ashqa refers to the hypocrite, the unfortunate hypocrite. Then again, when we talk about the eminence of Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, when he radiallahu anhu helped Jaysh al-Usra, the expedition of Tabuk, at that very moment as well, when he helped them financially, verse number 2 of Surah, verse number 162 of Surah Baqarah was revealed, where Allah Almighty praised him and Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu in these words, that those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, then after their spending, neither speak of the favor done or cause offense. For them, the reward is with their Lord, and they shall neither have fear, nor will they grieve. There are many other verses as well, Rizwan Bhai, that were revealed for Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. But again, where we spoke earlier, when we mentioned that one thing is the servant mentioning praising his master, but then on the other hand, we see the master praising the servant. Wow. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the excellence of Usman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu in the Quran, revealing verses for him in the Quran. And we can imagine what great personality Usman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu is. And just to summarize Usman bhai, it was his caliphate lasted for approximately 12 years, and it was on 18th Zulhijjah al-Haram, 35 Hijri, approximately at the age of 82, when he was oppressively martyred. And this beacon of guidance, this guide of the Ummah, the third Caliph of Islam, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, physically departed from this mortal world. We pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah Almighty shower His mercy upon Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and forgive us all without accountability
for His sake. Shared how brutally Sayyid Uthman ibn radiallahu ta'ala and was martyred. To be honest with you, we need a complete program on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his darajat.
Ameen.
Bijahin Nabil. Ameen. And forgive us for his sake. Ameen. That's all for today. We'll be back inshallah next week with another beautiful episode of Lives of the Companions.
So who are we going to be talking in next week, Azwan Bey?
Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil.
The fourth Caliph of Islam, subhanAllah, our heartbeat.
Subhanallah.
Babul Ilm, the knowledge of Ilm. So inshallah, next week will be very interesting.
Not
again. And again, we start feeling very, very excited that who are we talking about? None other than our Mushkil Kusha, Mawla Ali. Al-Murtaza Karramullah.
No doubt. Inshallah, keep watching Madani channel. And wait until next Wednesday. Until then, keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa tasleem. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the Companions, radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the Companions.